So, outsiders, there is a page turners, anyone included that's listening. There is a conspiracy going on that we did not have an episode for the last 10 days or so. And it's out there. We would like to say it's out there. So all these people saying we did not record an episode, I have something I wrote for all of you today. And I'm going to read to you now. 10 in the morning, and I'm skipping breakfast, and I'm drinking a beverage to ignore it all. Because ignorance is bliss, and I have come to embrace it. It's all overrated, except the drugs and the alcohol. So with that being said, to all you bitch-ass hoes that hate me the most, oh yeah, I hate you too. To all those punk-ass fucks that just want to talk shit, I hate you too. To all those high-class asses that's too hard to pass, oh yeah, I hate you too. You know, doses and mimosas, champagne and cocaine, they helped to get me through. No. No, you guys are not laughing as much as I thought that was
funny. I was letting you do it.
That's true.
It had been so long since I have heard that song that I thought that that was the comment you read in the comment section. That was like... Yeah. It's like, wow, that person's having a bit of a rough go of it.
Oh, wait, I thought it was the comment, too, so I was like, oh, they really went, man. They really... poetic.
No.
They're going through
but
it.
But now...
Okay, full stop before we get into the amazing episode.
No, but I love the sound
Chaz
of it.
Chaz and Al, have you heard the song Doses and Mimosa of, like, rich New York kids on a rooftop, and they're dancing around, and they're singing in a high falsetto, and they're like... doses and mimosas, champagne and cocaine. It's like, I've seen them live once when I was working festivals, and it was a magical moment. It's probably the worst song ever made in the stupidest music video you could ever see, because it's literally just like all white privileged kids sitting at a roof party in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and they're like dancing around with their hats backwards, and they're mm-hmm. dropping LSD doses in their champagne, and then they're like snorting cocaine off tables, but then hugging each other, and there's like hearts going everywhere, and you're just like, mm-hmm. this is not right. You guys are really trying to, like, you're really...
I'm really sad because that sounds like the mirror version of, like, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. You know, that sounds like evil NSYNC. Yeah. And, like, I love it conceptually so much, and I hate that it's real.
Yeah.
Like, the what you just described in my mind is, like, there's some universe I'm not a part of where, like, NSYNC was like that for a while, and that would have been boss as fuck to live through. And then I think, but it's here, it's right now, and it's
well,
sucks.
It's just, if that's your truth, I mean, like, if enough people believed that NSYNC was evil, then that would be our reality.
There's also the other conspiracy that 7 years ago when that came out, the government was trying a second round of MKUltra. So they were putting out government-manufactured LSD, and they were giving it to all the rich kids in California and New York to pass out to the masses. And they were hoping they could use that song for them to mm-hmm. take it and dance to while they were being controlled.
Well, they're listening, because as soon as I typed in doses, it popped up. I didn't even type yeah, in anything like... else. I typed in doses. I've never heard of this song before.
Oh, my God.
Never
heard
of
it.
As soon as I typed in doses, it popped up.
The idea... that you just said there was an actual, like, conspiracy that, like, yeah, this song, that was, like, the trigger word, the Pavlov response we were conditioning into kids so we could see if, like, we could get some dope-ass psychics, like, out of this. Like, let's have them all take drugs and unlock their psychic abilities to come work for us, the government.
You gotta... yeah.
And it...
And then the commercial that plays before it was for Total Wine.
It's like, if we don't get you with these guys, you're probably somebody who would really like
doses,
a nice bottle of wine and a nice night in. Like,
you gotta hit
we'll
Total Wine for your mimosa supplies.
Yeah,
I mean that too.
This looks like a parody video. Oh gosh, this looks like this was 7 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
There's something that I don't want to break the fiction that I've created in my mind about what this group looks like and what they're doing in this video. Like, I don't want to watch it because I know the candy won't taste as good anymore. Mm. I won't like this idea.
You don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah, like I don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Was she disappointed?
No, I'm looking at like the words they're putting on the screen: titties and blunts.
Oh, you gotta watch the actual like.
Oh, this isn't video. The actual this? Video.
The actual is this it? Is it? Like, is it a bunch of rich, privileged white guys
they're, like,
on a party?
Yeah, they're partying, but like there was like these words that they threw in on the screen real fast, and it said titties and blunts.
Boats and hoes.
Probably them. So anyway,
when you said that there's a conspiracy.
It's a shirt, but they zoomed in on it.
It made me sad that I knew that is 100% true. Like, you know when somebody says a conspiracy and you know it's not, like they're trying to like get one over on you, but then somebody says one and you're like, 100%, there are people out there that believe that. Like, I felt it. I feel like resonated with that part of the reality or whatever.
I'm going to do that my right funny now. Story that, and then like, do the sad comment.
Wait, are you going to read this comment from the video?
Not yet. I'm
but
going
is it
to,
the one? I think it's the one
it's
I see.
It's the top one. It's the one you see. It's barely a week after
Please,
Jack put up
read this as my
something
eulogy.
He cut out of the last episode of The Shameful Time of My Life. A week afterwards. I remember this period well. A week afterwards, my friend... It's all right, we're going to relax on Thanksgiving. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to follow the words of and doses and mimosas, and then drove downtown Nevada City for a fancy Thanksgiving lunch at this high-class restaurant Stephen worked at. And then we continued of the song, Doses and Mimosas, and then we made the horrible decision around 8 p.m. to mix and into the mix, and
I like that it took about till 3 a.m. for the bad decision after the doses and mimosas day. Like, after everything, you're like, all right, let's plug it. We already cut loose. Like,
I mean, the whole
make
thing,
it bad.
I've been sobering up like five army clothes, like, and I was fucked up, and he started cutting his hair with scissors in the middle of the kitchen while wearing these army fatigues. And for some reason, that image of him doing that just made me have, like, the crazy thoughts, like he was actually a serial killer. We were at his girlfriend's house, and I, like, immediately thought, like, he actually...
Of course it goes to that at some point.
He said she was out of town, so I was just like, she's not under town, and she's under the house. And he's like, what? And I was like, he's acting weird, man. And the man I've ever met. And I ended up busting out of the house and rough and ready and running down Highway 49 for like 2 miles with no jacket on in the middle of November in Northern California.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Not answering my phone because everyone freaked out. Steven and Benji started calling all my friends because I wasn't answering their phone calls. And then I had to come back in my plaid shirt freezing, and they had to put the light on for me in the house and play Regina Spektor loud to lure me back to the house.
Because... I love every part of that story. But God, do I wish you had been saved by the army man who cut his own hair. Instead of, like, being lured back to the house, I wish he was, like, there in his army fatigues and was like, I got you, or something, and brings you back. That would have, like, capstoned it. God, what a story.
Yeah, doses and mimosas have had me make. But on the comment page, it's obviously got some more powerful pull. There is a comment that says, this is on the Doses and Mimosas YouTube page. My best friend passed away 3 days ago. This was his favorite song. Eventually became both of ours. We would jam on this on our random midnight car rides. We made a promise to each other that if we were single by the time we were 30, we would get married to each other.
He fucking died at 29, didn't he?
Ultimately, I actually thought it was going to happen. If you have something on your mind that you want to say to someone, do it. Make the most out of this expression.
Oh my God. Did he die at 29? Were they like 1 year away from their marriage fact?
There's 52 comments on this.
It gotta be like requests for more. Like, part of me needs to know how this, like, I need more of this background. I want the Korean drama.
This is more sad stories. I lost my best friend last month too, but music keeps us connected forever. This song's horrible. What's going on?
That's what the connection's about, was maybe
there is
they both
another
hated
comment.
It.
OMG, I just lost my best friend 4 years ago. And I always thought to myself, if I'm single forever, I would be happy as long as he's in my life. I told him I would marry him, and then he told me he was gay. And I'm not. But I was happy just to be with him forever.
Wait, did you see the one? It says my father died 7 months ago.
No.
This is one of the songs that reminds me of him.
Is this on the main comments?
No, it's on the main.
Okay. He listened to this song.
The legacy you have for your father.
He says he listened to this song all the time. I learned from this song somehow that life can be hard, but it's always better to have a positive attitude and to keep trying. That's not what this song's about. It's about doing drugs.
What you said.
Also, thanks to the artists for this song, for making this song. It's always seemed to cheer my father up when he needed it. I have a feeling your dad was doing Toasts and Mimosas and possibly champagne.
It took that guy 7 months to think, like, I gotta go to that page and I gotta talk about my dad.
This is like a gift that keeps giving. I can't believe there's two comments about people dying on Toasts and Mimosas. Oh, I mean, I think it makes sense because I think they were probably doing too much Toasts and Mimosas, is what I'm assuming.
The description, oh my god, of the video makes it sound like life's not hard at all. Yeah.
We have another one. This song reminds me of my early 20s and all the. This song reminds me of my early 20s and all the fun things I did pre-COVID.
Oh,
late nights at strangers' houses, weekend benders, toxic ass relationships. God. And driving home at noon on a Sunday. I should have missed those things, but I do. 2012 to 2018 was really something
else. Well, I
think
that's else. The whole, yeah. I think that's the whole thing, is that all of them were just, you know, hopelessly addicted to cocaine, and then they all died.
I mean, I was a little bit.
Imagine you saw a comment on here from one of your ex-friends.
One of them who thinks that you're dead.
Yeah. I'm waiting until... We tried to do this on Thanksgiving, and my friend ran down the highway.
I gotta circle back on that original comment, and I just wanna compliment like the trajectory that story takes you. Like shit was hard. Got a friend. It ruled. We're both single. If we're not, we'll get married at 30, bro. That's cool, right? We're both single. We'll both be 30. Let's just we'll get married. It's cool now. And then he died, but I did want to marry him, and I never told him. He thought it was just like
he thought
last
it was
resort,
a friend zone,
you know.
But really, I was like, in love.
What if they both turned 30 and he was like, "Yeah, so the thing was."
Yeah.
It sounds more like so, to me.
Well,
that,
I actually have till 31. Okay, I'm 30 for a whole year.
No, to me it sounded like she was in love with him and she didn't tell him.
Oh, you guys, I should have clarified in my fiction. It's two dudes. That's in my mind. It's two male friends who were like platonic, but like, you know, Doses and Mimosas, dog. Whatever. Hey, weekend gets wild. Maybe we kiss real fast. Whatever.
Oh,
it's cool, man. I'm not going to bring it up. Mm-hmm. But hey, you know, we've been single for a while. So, like, what if, like, we were both 30? This is crazy because we're both going to find somebody. But what if, like, we got married to each other? And then the friend was like, of course, man. I love you. Like, we're going to be friends for life. And then that guy was like,
okay.
Low key, tight. Got it. But he never, like, elaborated further. He was always just like, arm's length. Cool, man. Don't worry.
Going around
but, like,
partying and doing doses
close.
Of mimosas.
That was how I pictured
at the
that
end,
whole story.
At the end, it's just him smelling a mimosa in a bottle of acid and crying.
Being
like, I don't know how to quit you and stuff like that.
Because you can smell the acid.
Acid should not
it's
smell.
Like
acid smells. You should
no,
like,
no, that's,
I have one more comment I want to highlight, and then we should really get into the bones of our episode. But also, relating to my story, yeah. Sickness, his name is Sickness 25 QM, which I think means he's a male. I literally lived this song one night. It was an epic time with my siblings. Forever our song. I'm just like,
with your siblings?
You're doing Doses and Mimosas and champagne and cocaine with your
siblings. You guys,
siblings.
They said we could use the rumpus room downstairs all night long. We could get as loud as we want. What's the one thing we always said we'd do? Doses and Mimosas. This 12-year-old birthday party is going to be lit. The person, they wouldn't be 12. That's not that frank.
Hello again, patrons. This is a good tangent. We are... This is our Dia de los Muertos episode. That was supposed to be our Halloween episode on Department of Truth, which we're very excited to talk about, which is an amazing book by James Tynion and the Fourth, Martin Simmons, our good friend Aditya Bidikar, with guest artist Elsa Chartier, and also one of my favorite artists, if not my favorite artist right now, Tyler Boss. And joining us today is Elle once again. Thank you for joining us. That was a hell of a way to start our episode on this I really wanted to start off with all these conspiracy theories, but I think that was perfect. That was magic in motion that just happened. That exploring that comment page on that
There's
video.
There's 20 minutes of that. I don't know how much you want me to keep.
Yeah, I say keep it all. That's all gold. That's all gold.
Even the part about house.
Just like bleep over.
You can edit out that.
Okay.
You can just bleep over
I'll
stuff.
Just
like bleep
the
over.
Part...
Like bleep
I'll just
over
leave
maybe
the part where I say should I cut out house. So that they know that we cut something really juicy out.
Yeah.
It'll be just like the best conspiracies. I have a morsel of information, and I want the whole pie. Let's lie about
that. The year. I mean, we'll know when we do our best of, because I got a few competing books. But this book, before we get into like, the nitty-gritty of it, has really like filled in what Saga used to fill in for me and what Gideon Falls kind of did for me for a while. But like these books where it's just... really fits my like actual curiosities, because I love conspiracy theories. I mean, when I'm bored or can't go to sleep, I just watch conspiracy videos on YouTube, and it's just something I've done since I was probably in my late teens till now, so quite some time. And this James has such a knack for actually researching this, because he obviously knows like every conspiracy theory that is in these books, knows all the background behind them, and then he turns it into such a fun read with this basis of, you know, which I also believe, because it's basically thinking of in quantum mechanics, you know, once you observe something, it becomes a particle. When you're not observing it, it's a wave. So it kind of, your observations kind of affect reality. So he's taken that to a whole new level, that literally your will, which some people will say they think is the fifth part of like the universal powers that kind of make the unified field. Your will kind of shapes the reality around you. And the more people that believe in things actually make that a reality. Hence why conspiracy theories exist. But I just... It's a book about Cole Turner kind of finding out the truth of this and being enlisted in the Department of Truth by a not-dead Lee Harvey Oswald, and his part, who's basically the agent work firm named Ruby, is kind of the introducing Cole to this world with Lee, and it just segues into these Black Ops units, Cat, which is another great reference not only to Men in Black, but also like Black Hat hackers, and they're kind of battling each other to control the narrative theme.
I figured that's what it was.
Narrative theme of our world. And I love it. Every time I read an issue, it's like crack for me. I don't know if I'm going to say anything. It's the best book that came out this year, but my personal favorite is just like candy for me. Which means, not every issue is the best, but it's just very narratively thrilling for me. And I'm always intrigued to what directions it's going. And Hawk Harrison has to be my favorite character of 2021. I absolutely love Hawk. How do you guys feel about Department of Truth? Or Chaz looks like you just found out another conspiracy. Well,
no, I think I was thinking about how you were like, I've been watching conspiracy videos for like a good while, right? And then I thought, man, and there's always new ones. You know what I mean? Like, the idea that they're so pervasive, I think, is explored really coolly in this book. Like,
he hasn't got to Anunnaki yet. I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting for Anunnaki. I'm waiting for... I told him, Aditya, to tell him about that one book, the Black Horse one. Was it Any Road a Black Horse? Whatever that book is that the government banned in, like, the 80s. I can't remember what it's called.
Aren't Anunnaki... according to some conspiracy theorists, aren't Anunnaki's reptilians?
Some conspiracy theorists say Anunnaki's are reptilians, but...
A lot of times they overlap, and he already did do reptilians.
He did. He touched on the David Icke. He touched on the David Icke reptilians. Anunnaki is supposed to be like a consortium of aliens. It's not supposed to be one race. It's supposed to be like the ruling class of aliens. So it's not just one alien. So yeah, reptilians could be Anunnaki, but so could multiple other aliens. It's supposed to be like the alien elite, like the alien 1% that control our dreams and keep us in fear and keep us repressed.
The new space order.
Exactly.
Like, we can't even deal with that in regular life. And then somebody's like, imagine, like, fucking space aliens that all work together. And then somebody's like, yeah, but you know what? Even they got a 1% of super good space aliens, and they got a cool special name or whatever. And then somebody thought, like, oh, everywhere's the same all over. I got to tell everybody about this. You know those aliens you love?
It's more complicated than that. 1%. Yeah. So the way it's been told by New Age people is that we live in the third dimension. We have access to the fourth dimension, which is like where time exists and where like beings we think are angels live. And the Anunnaki control the fifth dimension. And since they control the fifth dimension, they like preside over all of us. And they are why we have bad dreams. Like they sit in our dreams and torture us in our dreams, so that we stay repressed, and they also control everyone that's the elite in America and in the world. Mm-hmm. So they're actually all just like Anunnaki subordinates, basically subservient to the Anunnaki. It's a pretty crazy conspiracy. I'm sure James will eventually get into it, or at least tap on it a little bit. There's people that really believe it, though. I had old age hippies that would tell me to guard my precious metals, because when the Anunnaki come back, they're going to take all the precious metals from our planet. And that they would mix the conspiracies too. They would say that they're on Planet X. You know, that planet
you're doing Battlefield Earth now. You can't just start talking about a conspiracy theory and then to start recapping Battlefield Earth and expect me to not see
that. Yeah, no, and this old hippie would tell me that the Anunnaki lived on Planet X, that other conspiracy where David Icke also includes that and says that aliens and reptilians live on that planet. Which is that planet that sometime comes into our solar system, but only, like, what's it? God, I can't remember the name of it, but I remember always yell the name of that planet.
Old man.
Yeah, he would always go, oh, Nibiru. It's called Nibiru. People say there's another planet in our solar system, but it only comes into our solar system every so many years, and it's called Nibiru.
Okay, we were talking about doses of mimosas of champagne and cocaine, and that... like the first day I worked at the pizzeria in North San Juan was like one of the first times I had.
Are you talking the day we saw the fucking UFO?
And he just like
about the day
in
we saw?
And bust down a bunch of lines of on the front counter of the pizza place.
I was talking when me and saw some kind of UFO.
This was on one, dude.
Old to me, we're sitting.
No.
When I was waiting for you to get off, and I was in the back parking lot, and I was sitting in my van, me and were back there, and we saw this, like, light, and it was up in the sky, and it was, like, shooting off these weird colors, and he was like, Michael, it's Nibiru! And I was like, I don't think that's a planet, dude. And so I got up, and I was, like, 100 yards behind, like, the cafe, so Jack and Early, where I was walking from. And I, like, walked up to behind the pizzeria, and the light had come down to the tree, and it was this weird drone, but it was an orb, and it just had two, like, thin discs around it that were spinning around it, keeping it up, and it was just flashing this light that was green, blue, and red, and going, and it literally came down to the tree line right above me. I mean, I'm sure it was just a high-tech drone, because there are military bases up there, but it was definitely the weirdest thing I've ever physically seen in my life that I actually saw with my own eyes. That wasn't, like, from a far distance away. It was literally right above my head. It was weird. And
so much has already been shared. And
this was definitely like,
into the Dosen Dosen. Do you remember when, we should edit all these stories out. Do you remember when our other friend, whose name I'm not going to mention, gave him like a huge line of ketamine in the cafe, and then he like collapsed, and we had to carry him outside to the side of the cafe, and he was like, all I feel is love!
I don't know, but...
Love! He's shouting that, and he couldn't move.
I definitely remember
him... It was me and, like, other people you know that were there, that were, like, comforting
being
him.
Like, 80 fucking years old, he's, like, I don't, not really that old. How old is old or was he at that time?
He's probably, like, 80 now, but he's been sober since,
well,
like...
Well, I remember seeing
for,
him...
For, like, 4 years.
No, because he definitely, like... handed me a wine glass with, like, wine in it and was like, this is full of MDMA at a party one time. And he's, like, 80 years old.
Recently? He is, like, 80 years old.
No, this was, like, 5 years ago.
Well, maybe he was... somebody gave it to him, and he's like, I'm sober, but I'm not going to waste.
That's nice of him. Thank you.
My friend has this exclusive festival that he pays for his birthday, and like Grateful Dead cover bands come up, EDM artists come up. He pays like hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this, and it's very, very exclusive. Like, you have to be like family relatives or in the know. And so I got invited all the
conspiracy theory level.
I got invited all the time. I'm gonna ignore that. So I got invited all the time, and he told you can invite two people. So I invited and because they're my good friends, and they didn't realize it was an exclusive festival party. So they brought and they brought Old Man, and it's a 3-day party. And Old Man literally just started scavenging Wounded Soldier beers. He accidentally ate all these lollipops that had LSD in it, and he didn't know. And he ended up just being around the fire at my friend's house with all the stuff he had got and scavenged. And he's like, who the hell invited this old wizard? And I was like, it's kind of my fault, but not, but it is. And he was like, it's cool. Why is he drinking everyone's alcohol they didn't finish? And I was like, yeah, that's just him. It's okay. He's
like, God, how looks great homeless. Would that like, have yeah, been, though, if okay. you had just said, who invited this old wizard? And you were like, you see him too? Oh, good. Hey, we should just, like, engage with him, like, all together, because it's the weekend, and, like, maybe he's, like, the spirit of this festival, because you're talking about how people just, oh, I got this LSD yeah. lollipop, I'll just leave it over there.
It's like a 90s cartoon.
I'm done with this for now, I'll just put it on the napkin on the table.
In real like, life.
You know?
He was wearing a long purple robe. He came very festive. It was,
Gotta love Old Man. He's a crazy awesome. Old man.
I got yelled at because they were like, how many people did you actually bring? And I'm like, four. I didn't know they were going to invite other people. And some people didn't know they couldn't invite people. And they were like, we didn't know. And I was like, it's fine.
Anyway.
But back to Department of Truth. I love this book. What did you guys think of it?
I thought it was great.
It was your first read, Jack, so I thought you would dig it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the concept is really cool, and it's kind of got that surreal thing where it like makes your brain do all the work, which makes it extra intelligent. There's like a lot of, so how did the mechanics of this world work? They don't really explain it. And so you've got to do some serious brain work.
Yeah, they give you a lot in the first issue, and they bring it up a lot more, like in small doses. I love how Martin Simmons' art just goes really surreal sometimes, and I sometimes forget that it's just, like, the images that they're talking about.
The art's so,
like,
epic.
I just read the Bigfoot issue, and then, like, when he's going down the basement in the season finale, I'm like, damn, this basement's really full of these huge devil statues, and then this time reading it, I was like, no, that's just symbolism. Like, when they were walking on the Bigfoots, that's not really there. They're just walking down a staircase, because his art's great, and it really works like with your imagination and makes these wonderful images. And I love the guest artists too. I will say the Deviation issues, those are two of my favorite issues. The highlights for me were definitely the whole Hawk Harrison arc I love. And I really love the episode getting into the New World Order and the Clintons when those reporters find out about that report and they basically figure out it's fake. That issue is just gripping.
I think my favorite issue is the third one about the school shooting. Yeah. That one hit so hard.
And oh my God. Thank you.
I remember when I read that. Well, actually, I think the first time I knew like I was all in was like that last page in the first issue, because it was so cool when he was like, he's like, I don't even know who you people are. And he's like, my name is Lee Harvey Oswald. Welcome to the Department of Truth. And then just having like that big seal behind his head and how it was full page. I was like, oh, he's so cool.
Yeah.
Not something you would expect to say about, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald. But
yeah, that was such a perfect ending. The first issue.
I was like, oh, he's a pretty cool guy.
That's funny. Yeah.
I mean, hence. it's a great way to center the book. Because so many conspiracies are centered around Lee Harvey Oswald, including a conspiracy in the book itself to really go meta. which is the great ender of the, I guess, second season.
The crisis actor conspiracy.
That's Sandy Hook episode.
Like, not only was it like super, super, well, maybe it's just because of America or whatever, but like it felt super topical without really feeling like, expletive, you know what I mean? Exploitive. Like it was like just a nuanced enough touch to really make me feel like, oh my God. And then the the driving it home of like, this is a real conspiracy, but there are real people out there that are doing this to people, that are like attacking the people who have lost children.
And like, then when she started to like question herself I was like, really, because you can only imagine like the anguish she's going through mentally. I was like, this is such a good issue.
And like you were saying, Michael, like the art, Simmons just like kills it. Like, not only is it the symbolism that he like imbues in every page, like every page is just like soaked with imagery. It's but every issue just packs in like that one like super standout page where you've just felt like the weight of the issue or of the conspiracy or of the whatever's like happening, where you just you know. And then the one with the reporters and the Clinton thing that you were mentioning earlier too, it's almost the reverse. There's like nothing on the page, and it's just as impactful as like seeing this woman like with the phone, like
That one, he uses a lot of real world images that are involved with those conspiracies to really evoke, like that 2-page spread where it just shows Barack Obama and the Clintons and Reagan and has like the devil symbols on all of them with the horns. That's that right there is like really gets to me too. And just like reading, I mean, both those books
Did you just describe the mural at the Denver International Airport?
No, the mural at the Denver International Airport, which is also in this book, is like a weird-ass mural, which I've actually seen in real life, and it's like got a bunch of like symbols of like disease, and then it's got a bunch of children around like bodies, and it's got like skeletons fighting each other. It doesn't actually have any presidents.
No,
no
presidents on it.
No presidents in it.
But like implied presidents on it, probably, right?
That airport's fucking huge, man. When I went there as a kid, I had like no idea. I thought that painting was weird when I was there as a kid, and I had no idea that these conspiracies would come out later. And then like later in life, watching all these YouTube videos, I was like, huh, that's weird. That some weird painting I remember from when I was like 14 visiting my aunt is now soaked into pop culture as a conspiracy, which, I mean, it's a weird fucking mural. Like, I was like 13 or 14 when I saw it, and I always was like, that's really weird. And just
it's
kind of
a
like
weird fucking airport overall. Like, just the idea of it, and then everybody making up conspiracies about it, but then also thinking like the airport at one point thought like, well, everybody thinks that we're weird or whatever, so let's like paint the mural.
I fell asleep listening to like an episode about it on Parcast, and I just remember having like the most weird, awful dreams because it was looping. The episode just looped, and I woke up and it was still on, and I was like, "What is happening?"
Oh no!
That happens to me all the time. I did that the other night. I couldn't sleep and watched disturbing things around the internet on Halloween from Nexpo, and I ended up having like the most intense, horrible dream, like lucid dream ever, and I was like, I wonder why I had that. And I was like, oh yeah, I ate food while watching Nexpo's hella disturbing videos. And then
that's how most conspiracies are born. A nightmare.
A nightmare, yeah. What's weird about DAA, they didn't touch on the horse. They kind of touched on the like plaque. The plaque is weird because it does include a bunch of like Masonic, actually Masonic things. Like, it all spells.
But it also, like, what does the Masonic stuff say? You know what I mean? Like, in my mind, it's like when you get that like Chinese tattoo on you, and it's like says like number 5 with pork, but you're like, yeah, it's badass or whatever. Like, they're just like,
I don't even think the saying
just put
that,
some Masonic stuff on there.
The saying isn't even that Masonic. I think it's just that the date adds up to the number 33, which is like the highest level you can get in the Freemasons. It's like level 1, level 2, and then level 33, which is level 33 is really the third level, but they go in those levels.
And then after that, you get to go to Scientology and beat the boss there, right?
Yeah.
That's how level progresses?
I feel like Freemasons really just like to build and like structure society. I don't think there is I think a lot of conspiracies get wild in the muck because people just don't know about them. Like, in this book, when they're explaining Freemasons, that they just got into a bunch of weird occult stuff from England and started worshipping it because there was old pagan ideas. It was just like a hobby for rich men. I think it's very much more aligned with that than these crazy conspiracies that come out.
But the crazier ones, the better. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like the best part about this book, apart from the story and the art,
yeah, the lettering,
of course, and the gorgeous lettering,
Adichie was so excited about the Bigfoot issues, and now I know why, because he got to literally do his handwriting.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
He, like, sent me a message before it came out, and he's like, I actually did, dude, because we thought he did all of his letters hand-lettered at one time, and he's like, I don't, but thanks for complimenting me. And then so he sent me a message before it was coming out, and he was like, I actually did hand-letter a lot in these next two issues, so check it out. And then I was like, holy shit, he literally cursive wrote, like, pretty much wrote all that shit down. Which is awesome, because it really accentuates someone, like, struggling with their past and stuff like that. It's so sad in the lettering.
Yeah.
It's that guy's life, yeah.
That was a gut punch.
Do you think he killed himself after that?
I mean, after you kill Bigfoot, like, what are you going to do?
I guess because he wouldn't have the
proof. What's the rest of your life
after that? That hangs with me with that issue without giving too much away is, like, the resolution isn't what you think. I feel like that's when Hawk really shows that he does have a heart, even though he's a bastard. When the eventual TV adaptation of this comes out, they got to get Kurt Russell to play Hawk Harrison. Got
Ooh.
It. I just feel like he would accentuate that American badassness to a perfect level. And then get Gary Oldman for Lee Harvey Oswald and have them in secret battle. It just sounds like... I want
Walton Goggins for...
Harvey Oswald?
No, just, for...
Oh, Hawk?
Yeah, for Hawk.
Him as young Hawk. Walton Goggins and
I don't know. Did you Kurt see Russell. Walton Goggins in Righteous Gemstones?
Is he looking old?
No, I'm saying they like make-upped him up. He looked a little bit older.
Oh, he would be great
was all right.
for Hawk also. Cole's the hardest to cast because he's kind of like our audience. Like, I would say not until the second arc. It really feels like Cole has too much of a character. Like, you know he has a husband. He interacts a little bit. And you know a lot of his past. The Starface Man is kind of like our overarching monster that he created when he was a child during the Satanic Panic, which Hawk Harrison took advantage of, who's his... glorious design by Martin Simmons, this nasty white-faced monster with a star painted on it. It just seems
like
to have an ever-growing body.
But stretched out.
I feel like he's really an audience surrogate, though, because I didn't really feel like I knew him until more when he actually started to speak up. I don't know. How do you guys feel about Cole?
I got a super wild theory
about theories
what you were just speaking about, if y'all want to hear it. Not only is he our audience surrogate for the story, but he is in fact being created by us, the audience.
Oh, as a tulpa. That is a great theory.
That's why those like you're saying, he doesn't really come into view. He's kind of playing in the beginning, right? Like they're giving us this big vessel to fill, right? So we're going to get all, we know the shape of him. Oh, he's married. He's got a husband. Okay, cool. He's kind of this way, straight-laced. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he is a shower.
That's good. That's an extra detail that we're giving this man, right? We're all agreeing on like, how he said
that. Cole has a huge tail. He doesn't need to grow and show. He's well endowed. We've created a well endowed tulpa.
Right. And I could see where like audiences out there are probably like, yeah, this guy's pretty cool. I bet he's got a big one.
He's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're pulling full cyberpunk. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was my wild theory.
You were creating your character. Yeah. You absolutely packing. That's interesting you say that though, because I feel like Cole is like you were saying, like I feel like he's an unfleshed character. Like I don't feel like if you ask me something about Cole, I'm like, okay, something happened to him when he was a kid. He's married, like you said, married, but like there's little specific details they say, but like there's he doesn't
and then he
feel
has that
like
big defining
a
moment.
Person.
Bang, bang. And then we have like issues where he's talking to Hawk, like all of us trying to get answers. Like those issues are almost just like, all right, I'm tired of reading the internet boards about like what's the deal. Let's lay out a little bit of the mystery or whatever, which is exactly what we would do. And now we're better informed about who Cole is. We saw him do the thing. Now we saw him get the answers.
I definitely agree with him.
And he's still on board?
It'd be awesome if he's a tulpa and we'll explain why he's not that fleshed out. Because that's basically my complaint, Alice. It doesn't really feel like I know him much. I know him a little bit better during the end of the second arc, but the world he lives in is so fascinating, and the characters that surround him are so intriguing. Like, Hawk Harrison, for me, it's just... He's an asshole, he says horrible things, but he also has a good heart. Like, he hides that heart so well in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. His dialogue is great.
I just love when he's explaining to him without spoiling it, you know, his theory about what's going on that he's revealing to Cole, and just him being like, that's what I told you about the New World Order and all that magic bullshit, so you would know what to do. And just like, and just yelling at him, and you're like, oh, all of this shit he's been monologuing about the past six issues has a point. Yeah.
I liked when they broke down the wild fiction.
Yes, that one I love as well.
That was like one of my favorite pages.
That's too. One of the best things on Tinian's Substack, which I'm subscribed to, which you guys should subscribe to if you can afford the $7.99 a month, is that they do like these new wild fiction releases with like a ton of files drawn by Martin Simmons. They've only done Bigfoot so far, but I think they're going to get into angels and ghosts as well. Like, it's pretty cool because it's like the UFO issue with Tyler Boss. Like, it tells about like real occurrences that happen, but they're not real. They like created them for the files, so they're all great to read.
Because this would make like a perfect like a coffee table book if they took all of the cryptids and all the stories from this and made like just, you know, like Gravity Falls. They have like these coffee table kind of books for kids, and it has like all the mythology and lore in it with like little notes and stuff scribbled on them. I was like, Department of Truth, an adult one, that would be sick,
and you're on the level because he was literally talking about that on his thing that he's planning on putting them all together for a book collection, all the files he's releasing on Substack. Yeah,
I love that kind of stuff.
Me too. Yeah. I would definitely sit on my coffee table. Someone would be like, "What the hell is this?" And I'd be like, "This is Department of Truth." We got my friend who I grew up with who listens to our show hooked on Department of Truth and Reckless, where he was like, Saga was his favorite book and Saga hasn't been back. It's like pretty much all he read, and now he's like obsessed with Ed Brubaker and James Tynion. So like every week he's sending me new books he read, and he's like, oh, I'm so glad you guys told me about this. And just like Department of, yeah, both Tynion and Ed Brubaker have been on fire this
hell
year
yeah.
for me. My list, it's gonna be so good, Ellen, you're on, because my list, I'm trying to cut it down. There's so many good books that came out this year. It's just personal preference. Like, I love Marth Vallis. I know other people were friends, they're going to put that as their top book of the year. I don't even know if it's in my top 15, but it's close. It's a great book. It's crazy how everyone's opinions will be pretty different. Me and Chaz matched a few times last year.
We had some of the same stuff.
Brubaker,
maybe in different positions.
Rom V, yeah, in different positions. A few of those. Jack, yeah. Are you still here? Or are you alerting your secret society that we're talking about all these things?
Yes. I am alerting your secret society, my secret society.
I'm
here. I'm just under the weather still.
So I have a question for the group, because there's a lot that we can say about every issue of this book, but I feel like it's more fun to talk about what things this brings up. What was y'all's, or could be current, favorite conspiracy theory?
I'm going to talk about my favorite one in the book and then my favorite one that exists. My favorite one that they cover in the book. But see, my favorite one in the book, I'd have to say, it's not even a conspiracy. Like, my favorite topic they talk about in the book is probably the one where he explains how Freemasons and Theosophists came to be, and how Aleister Crowley came to power. And my favorite actual conspiracy they talk about in the book would probably be DIA, because I used to just listen to Denver International Airport conspiracies all the time. And my favorite current conspiracy, it's not even current, it's only because another time at a festival, I was working for Universary in 2016. This guy I've known for a while that's a farmer and family friend, he got too fucked up. And he went on some huge tangent about Admiral Byrd. Do you guys know who Admiral Byrd is?
But I have, like, a very vivid image.
So he mixed up two conspiracy theories.
Nope.
Admiral Byrd is inner Earth theory, but this, my fucked up family friend, thought it was flat Earth theory. So he went to explain flat Earth theory, but he was explaining it by Admiral Byrd. Admiral Byrd said he flew the farthest in Antarctica than anyone else, and that he eventually came to a new land past the Antarctic Wall that was green and lush, and it was a southern climate. It was no longer cold. And he said he saw woolly mammoths and animals of the wild out there. And then he said he was psychically controlled by some being that had him land his airship. And he came out to three tall, white, blonde men that took him under the earth into this huge, vast civilization. The most advanced city he'd ever seen was under our planet, inside our planet. This is Hollow Earth theory. And He got took into their leader, who's known simply as the Master, who was bald with blue eyes and could change his appearance, and he only spoke to him in his mind. And he told Admiral Byrd that they've been watching us and that they haven't been interfering with us, but they know we've made the nuclear weapon. And if we didn't stop experimenting with the nuclear weapon, they were going to have to intervene and basically destroy our race. And he admitted this on his deathbed, by the way, in his like late 70s. But he said these things happened, which has spurred a bunch of wild conspiracy theories. And now some flat earthers have included that into their theory, even though it's not flat earth at all. It's inside the planet, which doesn't make sense to me if the planet's flat. But
like,
but that is,
it's
that is
flat,
one of my
but like how
favorites.
Thin, right? Like how thin is the flat
earth? It's the basement,
earth.
Yo.
You know?
It's layered.
Now, do you think that could be possible? Because there are weird restrictions in Antarctica, and there is weird holes. And this has got me on all sorts
yeah,
of wild stuff.
Like, I was like, oh,
not,
man.
Not you. Yeah.
Like, the part of that should have thrown you for, like, I'm not saying it's like true. Shaking you loose was, like, he was bald with blue eyes, and he could change his appearance at will. Why would you be bald? You know
I
what
know
I mean? Like,
sounds bullshit. Yeah.
I can make myself look like whatever. Yeah. I'm going to look like Fabio, like, full-blown hair, super ripped all the time.
I don't believe in the conspiracy theory. I'm just saying there is weird stuff around Antarctica, and that's just because we can't really explore it because how fucking cold it is. And there
not
are weird
so
holes.
They were like, hey, yo, climate you got change. Too many nukes. Have you ever heard of coronavirus?
Maybe. That is what happened. They're like, this is our little coronavirus.
But it kind of also makes me want to maybe tweet out some wild shit before I die. Like, if
leave
I know
them
I'm
with
going
something
out,
to think about.
I'm going
to. Did you
I'm
ever hear
some
about
stuff
that?
Out there.
No, he just said it right now. We've been friends for 29
I mean,
years.
He died
we were
like
going to get married
too.
Next
look
year.
Look how long this has gone on. I'm going to look and see when he died. Yeah, it is a good thing. When you die, you should just say a bunch of crazy shit, and then it'll last forever. He died in 1957, and this conspiracy theory is still going wild on the internet. So, that's a long time.
What's his name?
Rear Admiral Richard Evelyn Byrd.
Evelyn Byrd.
This is him.
So Admiral Byrd.
Something to read before bed tonight.
Okay.
This is Admiral Byrd. What's some other conspiracy theories
yeah, I was
that you
say,
guys
what
love?
What are some of your favorite, current, most believed? Who cares? Whichever one you want to share.
I think I was raised by... Okay, so like I don't know if this is like a cultural thing, but like I, you know, my dad is black, my grandma, they're all black. I was raised, the moon landing was not real. When we learned about it in school, my grandma sat me down and was like, no, you can't believe everything they teach you in school. And I was like, out of all the things they could teach us in school, you're going to harp on the moon landing. And it's so crazy because she was like, you know, like little Christian lady, like unassuming, like, you know, I wouldn't think twice about anything she said. But her one thing that was like weird was how much she was opposed to the moon landing actually happening. And I was like, that's just a really weird hill. A really weird hill to die on.
I love the commitment.
Like,
like, yeah, I could see where it's
it
like,
was just, Yes, and it was because we never talked about anything else. Like, she didn't really talk that much. She, you know, watched, you know, regular shows, like nothing off, like, the wall or anything. But the moon landing, get her started on that. And
hold on, let me get these photos.
It was like a whole thing. But I think my favorite conspiracy, my favorite conspiracy theory, I think, is like Amelia Earhart
what?
Was like eaten by coconut crabs.
What?
Because, man.
That's one I've never heard. Wait, coconut what?
That coconut crabs, that's why they never found her body because like she was killed
strong.
By coconut crabs. They ate
so
her
they
body.
So they could have like crushed the bones or whatever, right?
Yeah, and they're like huge. Yeah, and like one of my... like one of my doesn't make sense fears is like crabs eating me or something like that. So when I saw that, I'm like, oh, other people talk about being like, eaten by giant crabs. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
And that's why they've never found her body.
I've never heard that one before.
Because they ate her bones and everything.
And I love it already. But
I did lie too. My favorite conspiracy has to be missing 411. I'm like well invested in that.
Like you guys all heard me. The jump, the way my brain had to go from like how did they?
I've never heard
what did coconut
that.
Crabs and Amelia Earhart like? Why would that be? And then I realized like they're called coconut crabs. And then I jumped from that part of my brain to another one. They could crush coconuts. That jump part over to they could crush the bones like. my like I'd never heard that conspiracy theory, and my brain immediately was fill in these gaps. How does this relate? And then I did it, and I was like, I love this huge theory. Oh my god, I'm hooked. Like, that's how conspiracies get you. Like, of course.
Yeah. So what, did she just fall out of her plane, like where her plane was filmed by? And
she
was like,
I
think...
she fell right in front of the door.
They were getting ready to eat anyway.
Like dinner. I mean, they're pretty big. This picture is pretty crazy. This guy with a huge coconut crab. I would not want that thing crawling up on me.
There's like a picture of one like on the street, like on a trash can.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at that one right now.
That's like bigger than I hate that. It makes me so itchy. Ugh.
You know what that guy found? That guy found Australia. Bird just found Australia. Because if he was like, there was all these big animals and these beautiful people, like, and they said they've been watching us, and I had to fly. It was cold. It's like he skimmed and then was like, oh, hot land, let's go land there. And then, oh, yeah, we went beyond the wall, huh? And then his whole crew was like, we just want to fucking get off this airship. Like, because that's like the land before time. That's all Australia is.
That's what happened.
The master was just a guy he was just running a criminal city on there with all the outlaws and was like, I'm the master. You better stop with those nuclear weapons. We're going to get
you. I think the best conspiracy theories are all the Teletubby conspiracies. Have you ever gone down that hole?
No. Teletubby conspiracy theories?
Yeah. Evan, there's all these conspiracies that like the sun is like the baby sun is like a demon and sends like subliminal demonic images into children's minds, and that like the little speakers that pop up are like hypnotizing people or like hypnotizing children whenever it says like time for Teletubby whatever, you know, it's all supposedly like hypnotizing children and has all this subliminal messaging, and they're in this like dystopian future, and like those little things that come out of the ground and like spray stuff into the air is like Teletubby mind control, and like the custard is like supposed to like mind control them.
Oh my god.
And it's supposed to like be making children susceptible to like all this brainwashing and mind control happens in real life.
I like that. It's
that's crazy.
And my kids watch those YouTube videos like where the Teletubbies are like demonic, and it's so funny because I'm like, they'll never know that they started out kind of wholesome because they will never watch the real Teletubbies.
Right? No, I watched the real Teletubbies when
that was like the first gay pop culture character was the purple Teletubby, wasn't it?
Was he gay?
I'm pretty sure the purple Teletubby was gay.
Maybe.
How would we know that?
I think they came out and said that he was gay. I'm gonna look this
up. Do they have gender? Is what are the things on their heads like?
Oh man, my browser history.
Yeah, the algorithm is all messed up.
What was the gay Teletubby?
That one's good. That one I like.
We're having like the reality distortion effect.
Yeah, the gay Teletubby. Yeah. Oh, I guess it's because...
Not Tinky Winky, though.
You know what, though?
I guess it's because Jerry Falwell said he was gay and tried to ban people from watching it.
If they had been on the air for, like, 2 more years and they were still single, 2 of them were going to get married. To each other.
They were.
Yeah. They were so goddamn close.
I mean, we all know Tinky Winky's favorite song was Doses and Mimosas.
It was either them or the Bananas in Pajamas that loved the Doses and Mimosas, because they like looked like they were always pretty chill.
I thought they were brothers.
They could still be brothers. They could have two friends that they're going to marry.
The Teletubbies are actually slaves.
I mean, the siblings did have the Doses and Mimosas party. So
that was actually the same commenter. He just commented later when his
brother died. Oh, that would have been no.
Oh, no. Yeah. Everybody around. So that's a conspiracy theory.
That's
and
almost
it's
a
the
good
same one who posted about the dad.
Yeah, it's Mimosas themselves who's like people connect with our music over all sorts of reasons, not just drugs and alcohol.
The dad one makes me sad because it makes me think it's like a 12-year-old kid whose dad was really into acid.
But it's really like a 35-year-old guy whose dad is like 60.
Yeah.
Who just happened to play.
This he is heard what the it one time like.
And never stopped playing.
No.
We could get into the conspiracy theory that the Grateful Dead control Marvel Studios.
Do you think they played Doses and Mimosas at his funeral?
And everybody so. Now pause like, for a moment party. While we put on my dad's favorite song one last time. Can you press play, please?
Oh, they walk the casket.
High-pitched falsetto voice.
Let me dim the lights and bring them back up every now and again.
They're just all dancing at the wake. I mean, there's probably just... real quick on the conspiracy front, I love the missing 411 conspiracy. I watched so many videos on that and so many people disappearing and never being found or found in weird places. And I definitely think relating to another conspiracy is people are being taken by another dimension that exists next to us, maybe above us, and it's like the Rick and Morty episode and all of reality is just a pocket existence to this other reality, and it's where UFOs come from. And they're also the good folk, the fairies. They're actually just travelers from the other dimension that used to come here, and then they stopped coming here because we got too technologically advanced. And we would be able to notice that we were just some pocket universe for this larger universe that keeps on coming to fuck with our universe. And, like, maybe they're taking them to experiment on them, or they're just taking them to this, like, better universe. They're like, you won! And then the people they don't like, they're just like, yeah, we were going to take you, but then we read your mind. We got to dispose of you now.
Sorry, we're going to rip your feet off. Got to send you back. That's what I know about aliens.
This has been a fun time.
So okay, wait, can I let me tangent for a second. I keep getting these ads for this like movie about aliens and alien abductions, and they're all like,
are you sure it's not the show with Demi Lovato?
I had stage 4 cancer. No, I don't know. They're like, I had stage 4 cancer, and the aliens came, and they cured it, and now I've spent my entire life searching, and I cannot find aliens, but I know they're out there. And it's like, why the hell would you look a gift horse in the mouth like that? Like, alien came, cured your stage 4 cancer, and you're gonna squander your entire life looking for them so you
that
can expose them?
That guy's at home
them?
With his wife.
Like, come
just
on, man. Like, just be grateful for those goddamn aliens.
You're never gonna
aliens,
find
man.
Them, and he's like, but they gotta know I appreciate the second lease on life they gave me.
But you're wasting it looking for them.
Exactly. The aliens are sitting there like, do we have to go back and smack some sense into him and get him to stop looking for us? He's wasting his whole damn life going crazy about us.
I have not seen that, but Jack, did you know there's a show on NBC Peacock where Demi Lovato goes and tracks down extraterrestrials? And I'm saying extraterrestrials because Demi Lovato also came out and said that aliens was a derogatory term that aliens don't appreciate. Demi Lovato, hot take. Me and my wife just laugh at Demi Lovato every week. This. Every day, we just look to see what Demi Lovato said today. Because she's, like, desperate for attention. It's she's having
man,
a mental breakdown.
Sugar-free
like,
yogurt toppings.
All
I
seriousness,
was like, please
the drugs
stop.
Did something to Demi's brain. And she should have better press coverage, like a better publicist to stop her from posting and saying the things she does. Because it's just becoming embarrassing. So she said she was, like, just broke up with her fiancé and said, I've decided today that I'm non-binary, but I might come out next year as transgender. I haven't decided. That's not how it works, Demi Lovato.
You could say like I've had some thoughts. I've posted some stuff on like social media where I've just been sitting around drunk and then thought that's something that's kind of funny. I guess I'll put it somewhere, and then later I say, well, you know, now that I'm sober, that's not that funny, or whatever. It's like, yeah.
Which, she's dead sober,
hey,
Chaz.
All power to her. What's the difference between somebody like Demi Lovato and just like Greg on the street, who espouses views like this every day? Right?
Yeah. I gotta probably wrap up soon, too. I don't know how long you guys want to wrap up since it's like 8:30 now.
But yeah, I always think, like, they got more
it's
reach.
A conspiracy.
You know what
cut
I
it
mean?
Short.
Just
imagine.
It's a conspiracy.
Instead of aliens, she decided to get on,
is it
like,
really 8:30?
The Denver International Airport. if she was like,
oh, diving, please. I mean, I'd watch that show, deep, too. Please give me Demi like, explores the conspiracies of America.
Whatever. But, like, here's the thing. They won't let her in until the last episode of the season.
What does Demi got to say about... about the...
Anunnaki?
What, the under-Earth?
And the inner-Earth? Yeah. And Missing 411. No, I want to know all these things.
Conspiracies are pretty...
All Earth theories?
Yeah.
Terrible, in a way. But they're pretty great. Also, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many. Yeah.
They're great for entertainment. They're bad
they're
for people
great,
with
yes,
mental
they're
health
great
issues.
Great for entertainment. They're dangerous for
people with mental health issues.
They're just kind of dangerous.
Other reasons.
Even
yeah.
the ones that aren't that insidious, like, quickly become.
That maybe that's why they're entertaining.
Serious. Like,
yeah. Because
I mean, they said that in the first issue when they were talking about how the people who believe it are people. Who, what did he say? He said, because some aspects of life are too complicated.
Yeah.
It's just easier to believe what everybody's telling you. So it is scary that, you know, so many people could be susceptible to something like that.
Yeah, I mean, think of QAnon, which are two of the, you know, the Sandy Hook himbos, the reporter issue are two theories that QAnon people really believe in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which leads to like
QAnon's
the capital
scary.
And things like that, which is scary.
But I have a,
that's
I definitely have an aunt with some mental health struggles that
you could have said anything.
Is very
right
into
there.
QAnon and believes
like you
all
could have made something up, and I would have thought,
including that the vaccination
that it was
is going to make you gay.
You could have been like everything.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Even
that
like.
Bad.
Dinosaurs actually had pretty long arms, but they were mostly like tendon. So, like, that's why the skeletal structure is all fucked up. It's like,
and it would
have
been
like,
QAnon.
Whirly, like, they were like elastic, but they were long. That's the thing. Everybody jokes, but it's like Mr. Fantastic. They could just stretch because of the muscle, but that doesn't stay. Like, you could have said that. And I would have just been, like, trying to look through this email for something that my girlfriend just asked me. And be oh, yeah, QAnon and the dinosaurs? Yep, definitely. Yeah, I remember them talking about dinosaurs before.
See, the guy from All Earth, the shapeshifter, was actually a Teletubby all along. The Teletubbies did not want us to mess with nuclear armaments.
That actually would make sense. If he could change his shape, he would definitely look like someone non-threatening,
like
a Teletubby.
A 10-foot Teletubby giant?
Oh, my God.
No, he had his body split. He was all four pieces.
And Jerry Falwell is a part of the Anunnaki. And Jerry Falwell is a part
Dude,
of the
Anunnaki. The Teletubbies run the Anunnaki. Duh.
And Jerry Falwell is a part of the Anunnaki, and he was trying to fight the Teletubbies in the inner for the power with the Anunnaki.
Interesting combination of words with
the Teletubbies.
Jerry Falwell fighting the Teletubbies.
The Anunnaki,
my brain,
and inner Earth, the same
my
thing.
My imagination painted the picture of like of like Yoda versus Count Dooku, but there's like four Yodas as the like Teletubbies, and they're all and then he's Count Dooku.
He actually did do that though.
That's when you said they're. But he fought the Teletubbies? Not like he fought the idea of
He
them,
actually fought
like, shouldn't be
all
TV
of the Teletubbies.
But like, yeah. When you said that, that was what I saw. And then I got really sad because it's not real.
It could be.
And they're just fighting.
Hey, if you believe
they're just fighting
enough.
With words. And then making up conspiracies about how the baby and the sun was sending demonic images. Like, that's definitely something you do when you're fighting. I can't fight.
I'll fight
Teletubbies.
The concept of Teletubbies.
I can fight the idea of Teletubbies. Yeah. Invasive.
On a lighter note, have you guys read anything good the last couple weeks? Are you excited for anything coming out?
I'm excited to finally catch that third Reckless trade because I'm still behind. I know.
Ah! I thought you would have got it by now because they're going
to
ship
wait.
It.
It's soon, though. Should be this weekend.
It's amazing,
yeah,
Chaz. It's
really,
really good.
Forward to it.
I'm excited for the fourth one too. It sucks. We have to wait till April. And I'm hooked to this book series. They're absolutely so great to read. This one really kind of delves into him and I don't want to say is it Anna? Him and Anna's relationship.
Ooh, I'm excited
so it's nice.
To read
I'd say
it.
It's on the level of the first book for me.
Yeah, the first one was
Yeah.
I mean, the first one's always the best.
True.
One. Right?
Second one was really good, too.
Yeah, usually in movies.
I haven't read those yet.
They're great, Elle. They're, if you like Brubaker and crime fiction, they're really good. I'm definitely addicted. I am overly excited for What's the Furthest Place from Here next week. That's probably my most anticipated book of the year. So far, much that I've triple dipped on the deluxe edition everywhere to make sure I get a copy. And I'm also really excited for New Bern tomorrow, which is Jacob Phillips, Sean's son, and Chip Zdarsky telling the story, which I know, Al, you probably just heard a lot about it, of a PI that's on a criminal family's retainer. And really, really pumped for that book.
And then, speaking of conspiracies, the matter of Oswald's body drops next week, too.
Oh, I'm super excited for that as well. Thank you for reminding me. Yeah. Another Cantwell book.
The cool one, the writer, not the notorious racist.
Yeah, and the new Blue Double Flame comes out tomorrow as well.
Oh, I'm excited for that, yeah.
The Rush is really good, too, and that comes out tomorrow.
That's been, like, that's definitely in my top. Yeah, I got to read an advanced copy of The Rush. It was cool.
Yeah, it's really good. Me too. Yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. Spurriers usually get better and better throughout the series. Blue Flame is amazing. I think it's going 12 10. Issues, right? 12 or 8 or something?
Yep.
Like
10.
Prestige.
10? Okay. Nice. Jack, have you read anything new or listened to anything new? Or watched anything new?
When are
you
watching the Hill Houses? Anything new?
Oh, yeah, I did. I watched The Hill House and the Midnight Mass, and they were both really good. I was actually trying to figure out which one I liked better. And I don't
know.
Hill
House
it's a really
is my
hard
go-to
one.
To cry. Like, if I feel sad, I'm like,
well,
I just
Hill
want to
House
cry.
Is much more of a crying
like,
show.
On Hill House,
sure. It's scarier, too. But, like, it's definitely a lot scarier, but Midnight Mass was really deep.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff they said about Christianity and all that. It's like, ooh, ouch. The hard truth. No, besides that, nothing really. Just, you know, working on tunes and shit. Pretty boring.
It's not boring. You get to release new tracks and everyone can keep updated.
I know it's boring. It's not boring for me. It's just not something exciting to talk about. I do have some new tracks coming out. So that'll be real exciting. I got one coming out. I put one out actually last week on the 26th, and then I have another one coming out on the 26th next month. So
sick.
Well, hell yeah.
You should check it out if you haven't. Ego Death. It's like metal meets glitch hop meets dubstep with rap.
All rolled into
one. You sold
one.
Me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You sold me like Angelo's pitch to Patrick last week that What's the Furthest Place from Here was the Warriors meets Juno, which is a good pitch. I wonder if that...
Yeah.
People are selling you as former comic shop worker. People are retailers are selling the issue they sent to you guys, retailers, for like $400 online.
Oh, it's like an ashcan or something?
That got sent to comic shops. I assumed you were still there when they sent it because Angela was telling me they read it. It was like a full issue they sent. It just doesn't have the, it's like virgin.
Oh,
it doesn't
damn.
Have the
no, that
logo
must have came
it.
After.
It's called That's retailer copy. Yeah, that they sent to retailers. Yeah. People are. It's funny that retailers are now turning around and selling it for $400 on eBay.
I mean,
oh man,
yeah,
my local shop kept
that money.
My local shop kept my copy of the foil for House of Slaughter last week. They put it on my bill, and then when I went, they took it off my bill, and I was like, "Hey, you know, I ordered it like months ago. Did something happen?" And they were like, "Oh, we can't find it." And I was like, "What do you mean you can't find it? Like, it was on my bill, which means you scanned it in."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
that's shady.
Yeah. So I was like, "Well, I guess I got to find a different shop," because that really messed with me. Because I was like, I was, you know, okay, that's a little suspicious, but
that would mess with
especially
me too.
Scanned. Yeah.
And it was something that, like, I pre-ordered with you guys months ago. Like, not just, like, last week or, like, no, I placed this order specifically for this.
L, not exactly legit. Thank you for joining us again. It's fantastic.
Oh, no problem.
Hopefully you had a great time. Thank you for telling me about coconut crabs and Amelia Earhart. I can't wait to share that with everybody I know. You can find the show on Twitter at OutsideThe with a zero in the front. You can find us on most social media as well. I'm at Chaz Simons on Twitter. Michael, Jack, L, you want to give them your handles?
I'm at not exactly. Oh, go ahead.
Oh. No, you.
At not exactly legit on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can find me at sin_aesthetics with an X on Instagram or Twitter.
All right, you guys, have a great night.
And until next time, turn the page, wash your hands, and remember that Avril Lavigne was replaced by a clone, actually by one of her backup doubles for continued profit by a record label. That's a real conspiracy. Go look it up.
Outside the pages.